You're listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominey. Out Loud Bible Project is on a mission to read the entire Bible out loud in a conversational and approachable way, so you can recognize your part in this conversation between you and God.
Welcome back to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast. Mike here. We're reading the Bible like a conversation so that we can find our next best yes in our relationship with God. In the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis takes some time to talk about morality, this system that we have to just kind of get along with each other. Well, and he likens morality to a fleet of ships, where we are like individual ships on a journey together. And he says two things have to be true of these ships. A, they need to not bump into each other and collide as they travel. And B, each ship needs to be in good working order individually. And he says you can't have one of these things without the other, because if they're colliding into each other, then they're not going to remain seaworthy and in good working condition very long. And likewise, if one ship is not in good working condition, it's going to have a hard time staying on course, and it will veer off and collide with other ships and cause problems. And as we read the book of Deuteronomy here, we see God reminding people of all the systems and processes he set up to help them along the journey. Help set up these moral systems where it's addressing both sides of what's necessary for this group to be able to function healthily. Each individual needs to be making sure that they are in good working condition, that they've made these sacrifices and atonements and are purified and are sanctified and are consecrated. And individually, we have a heart that is like God's, right? And we're treating people with the love and the respect that is deserving of them because we are God's people, right? And also, he's got to take some time to just set up some systems so that we don't bump into each other. Even if we're trying to do the right thing, even if we're just trying to go about our life, there still needs to be some boundaries, some guidelines, and some processes and systems to make sure that when we bump into each other, it doesn't completely derail the whole progress we're making as a people of God, and that we can prevent those bumps and those collisions in the first place. That is the focus of this episode, the section of chapters here, Deuteronomy 19 through 21, in just what are these boundaries? What are these systems that will help us from colliding with people? And if we do, to be able to resolve it in the best possible, least painful way. Now, again, this all applies to God's people, Israel, at this time, thousands of years ago. It's not all a direct correlation. It's all not directly applicable to today. But we can draw out these principles of what are the systems that we have in place to prevent these collisions and to mitigate the damage of collisions? Let's not be trying to wing it when we're in the heat of the moment, right? Let's not. Let's see what God has put in place for us to be able to resolve conflict peacefully. When accidents happen, how do we resolve that peacefully? All of this and more here in Deuteronomy 19 through 21. When Yahweh your God cuts off the nations whose land Yahweh your God gives you, and you succeed them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall set apart three cities for yourselves in the middle of your land which Yahweh your God shall give you to possess. You shall prepare the way and divide the borders of your land which Yahweh your God causes you to inherit into three parts, that every manslayer may flee there. And this is the case of the manslayer who shall flee there and live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally and didn't hate him in time past, as when a man goes into the forest with his neighbor to chop wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and hits his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. Otherwise, the Avenger of Blood might pursue the manslayer while hot anger is in his heart and overtake him because the way is long, and strike him mortally even though he was not worthy of death because he didn't hate him in time past. Therefore, I command you to set apart three cities for yourselves. If Yahweh your God enlarges your border as he has sworn to your fathers and gives you all the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep all this commandment to do it which I command to you today, to love Yahweh your God and to walk ever in his ways, then you shall add three cities more for yourselves in addition to these three. This is so that innocent blood will not be shed in the middle of your land which Yahweh your God gives you for an inheritance, leaving blood guilt on you. But if any man hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises up against him, strikes him mortally so that he dies, and he flees into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and bring him there, and deliver him into the hand of the avengers of blood that he may die. Your eye shall not pity him, but you shall purge the innocent blood from Israel that it may go well with you. You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set, in your inheritance which you shall inherit, in the land that Yahweh your God gives you to possess. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, or for any sin that he sins. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall a matter be established. If an unrighteous witness rises up against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before Yahweh, before the priests and the judges who shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and if the witness is a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he had thought to do to his brother. So you shall remove the evil from among you. Those who remain shall hear and fear, and will never again commit any such evil among you. Your eyes shall not pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses, chariots, and a people more numerous than you, you shall not be afraid of them. For Yahweh your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you draw near to the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and shall tell them, "Hear, Israel, you draw near today to battle against your enemies. Don't let your heart be faint. Don't be afraid nor tremble, neither be scared of them, for Yahweh your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." The officer shall speak to the people, saying, "What man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man dedicate it. What man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not used its fruit? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man use its fruit. What man is there who has pledged to be married to a wife and has not taken her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her." The officer shall speak further to the people, and they shall say, "What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his brother's heart melt as his heart." It shall be, when the officers have finished speaking to the people, that they shall appoint captains of armies at the heads of the people. When you draw near to a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace to it. If it shall be, if it gives you answer of peace and opens to you, then it shall be that all the people who are found therein shall become forced laborers to you and shall serve you. If it will make no peace with you but make war against you, then you shall besiege it. When Yahweh your God delivers it into your hand, you shall strike every male of it with the edge of the sword. But the women, the little ones, the livestock, and all that's in the city, even all its plunder, you shall take for your plunder for yourself. You may use the plunder of your enemies, which Yahweh your God has given you. Thus you shall do to all the cities which are very far off from you, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of the people that Yahweh your God gives you for an inheritance. You shall save alive nothing that breathes, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, as Yahweh your God has commanded you, that they will not teach you to follow all their abominations which they've done for their gods, so you would sin against Yahweh your God. When you besiege a city a long time, in making war against it to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them, for you may not eat of them. You shall not cut them down. For is the tree of the field man that it should be besieged by you? Only the trees that you know are not trees for food you shall destroy and cut them down. You shall build bulwarks against the city that makes war with you until it falls. If someone's found slain in the land which Yahweh your God gives you to possess, lying in the field, and it isn't known who has struck him, then your elders and your judges shall come out, and they shall measure to the cities which are around him who is slain. It shall be that the elders of the city which is nearest to the slain man shall take a heifer of the herd, which hasn't been worked with and which is not drawn in the yoke. The elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with running water, which is neither plowed nor sown, and shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. The priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for them Yahweh your God has chosen to minister to him, and to bless in Yahweh's name. And according to their word shall every controversy and every assault be decided. All the elders of that city which is nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. And they shall answer and say, "Our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Forgive, Yahweh, your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and don't allow innocent blood among your people Israel. The blood shall be forgiven them. So you shall put away the innocent blood from among you when you shall do that which is right in Yahweh's eyes. When you go out to battle against your enemies, and Yahweh your God delivers them into your hands, and you carry them away captive, and see among the captives a beautiful woman, and you're attracted to her, and desire to take her as your wife, then you shall bring her home to your house. She shall shave her head and trim her nails. She shall take off the clothing of her captivity and shall remain in your house and bewail her father and her mother a full month. After that, you shall go into her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. It shall be, if you have no delight in her, then you shall let her go where she desires, but you shall not sell her at all for money. You shall not deal with her as a slave, because you've humbled her. If a man has two wives, the one beloved and the other hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son is hers who was hated, then it shall be, in the day that he causes his sons to inherit that which he has, that he may not give the son of the beloved the rights of the firstborn before the son of the hated, who is the firstborn, but he shall acknowledge the firstborn, the son of the hated, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they chasten him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city and to the gate of his place. They shall tell the elders of his city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard." All the men of a city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall remove the evil from among you. All Israel shall hear and fear. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. Don't defile your land which Yahweh your God gives you for an inheritance. So you see, ideally, we don't have sin issues. Ideally, we don't bump into each other. Ideally, we don't have these sort of conflicts that we've read about here in these chapters. Ideally, if our hearts are softened toward God's and more like his, and we're around other people who have the same goal in mind, then we shouldn't need all of these boundaries and guardrails and rules and laws. But the truth is, we live in a sinful world. And our hearts are naturally bent to be selfish, and we're around people who are selfish. And even those especially who don't have God as their God, we are going to have these conflicts. But did you notice in these chapters here that there's a difference between certain and obvious sin and rebellion and accidental sin and rebellion, or the unknown of what is the state of someone's heart? And when it's unknown, God always leads with peace. Did you see how they came up to a city even? If they were to come up to a city, they should first lead with peace. That's God's heart. God's heart is peace and reconciliation. That's the first offer. If it's rejected, then there's consequences to it. There's a difference between God's heart and God's hand when it comes to discipline and punishment and judgment. Those things come from God's hand. God's heart is a heart of peace that offers peace and is patient and has mercy. But when there is rebellion, when there is sin, when there's rejection of that mercy, when there's rejection of that peace, then judgment has to come, and it has to come quickly. God knows the consequences of letting that fester. So in our lives, in your life, are you leading with peace? Are you offering peace first? And then how does that inform your interactions in your relationships? Lead with peace. Extend mercy. Because peace and mercy have been first extended to you. Let's have the heart of God to be quick to extend mercy and peace, but quick to shut down and purge that which is in rebellion against his heart. That's the Thinking Out Loud thought for today.
You've been listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Domini. When you become a patron of Out Loud Bible Project, you help make the Bible accessible for people who desperately need to know they have a role in this conversation with God. To learn more, visit outloudbible.com and click Support This Project. Thanks for listening.